This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and returning from a trip down south to Austin, Texas, is our good friend, Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome back, Michelle.
Hey, you know how to say my name. How's that? I did listen.
All this
Chris.
Time, I was able to finally get it right.
I did listen. You did a great job, and I'm glad you insisted that my replacement use Apple products. So thank you very much. It was very good.
The only way to go. So, also joining us is the wonderful, lovely, charming, handsome, debonair Michael Scopa. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Chris. I didn't go to Austin because somebody had to stay home for Memorial Day weekend and constantly keep the fireplace going when we had 40 degree temperatures. So I decided I wasn't going to go to warmer temperatures. I was going to stay home and use up that firewood.
Well, seems like you need to go down to Florida. So joining us for the first time is a good friend of the podcast, a good friend of all of us from HiddenMickeyGuide.com is our good friend, Dr. Steve, Mr. Hidden Mickey Barrett. Hi, Steve. Welcome back.
Hello, guys. Hello. Thanks for having me.
God, it's a joy to have you. I knew you before I knew you. I picked up your book, Hidden Mickey Guide, way back in the day, and then I figured out I knew you. So it's kind of cool.
Steve has been on earlier versions of this podcast. This is just the first time in our new iteration.
The mind is the first thing to go.
Yeah.
Well, it's the second, but nobody remembers what the first is. So Steve, you do a wonderful book that everybody can go to your Instagram page or YouTube page, which is Hidden Mickey Guy. And in there, you get to look through the parks and you find Hidden Mickeys. And I know at times you you open it up to the audience to decide if something is a Hidden Mickey or not. When did you decide to do that one?
Well, Chris, many years ago when I was into the early days of the Hidden Mickeys books, the first one came out in 2003. So Over time, the Hidden Mickeys, I like to think I'm part of it, but the Hidden Mickey game has gained momentum. Let's put it that way, over the last 20 years. And I don't have to even look for Hidden Mickeys anymore. I mean, people write me and email me through my website usually, or directly through my email, of a Hidden Mickey image that they see. I got my first new one from Disneyland just last week. Oh, Disneyland is reopening, as you know. So people are looking for Hidden Mickeys again there. So people write me about Hidden Mickey images, and I go check them out. So that's basically how I do my Hidden Mickey research. Now, I do talk to cast members frequently, but cast members don't always know, and their level of interest in Hidden Mickeys varies, especially if they're new cast members. That's not one of their priorities. So, but occasionally I'll get, especially a veteran cast member will clue me into a new Hidden Mickey or a new hidden image. And so that's basically how I build the Hidden Mickey file. I would say about 50% of the images people send me are, they're marginal. They're not true Hidden Mickeys. I like an image that is purposeful. Like in the Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway, there are some fabulous Hidden Mickeys in there. It is clear that they were purposefully placed by the creators and the Imagineers. And they're wonderful Hidden Mickeys, but that's the kind of image that I like, and that's what goes into the file and goes into the new edition of the books.
I would guess you have to ride that attraction 100 times to see them all.
Oh my
goodness.
Because
it's so fast.
I have ridden it many times and taken many videos, and finally I think I found them all.
Wow.
But yeah, it's a wonderful, I love that ride. It's got great Hidden Mickey images.
Yeah, one of the things that is such a thrill for me, Steve, first of all, you're such a wonderful, nice person, but to be in line for an attraction and see somebody who has your book, and not to say, hey, Steve's a friend of mine, but just to see the joy that, that people have when they're using your book and they're, you know, they pull it out of their backpack. And you're, you know, I'm an educator. You're somebody who is just a lifelong learner, and you just see your, if you spend any time with you, you see the joy that you have in going to Walt Disney World. And I'm wondering, you know, I can't believe it's 18 years now that you've been doing this. How did it start? How did you start doing this?
Well, of course, my first step was falling in love with Disney World. I came in 1989 for the first time and to Florida to a conference and went to Disney World, and I've never looked back, basically. I just was enthralled by the place. So I began reading everything about Walt Disney and Disney World. I read books, and the Disney magazine was out, being published at that time. And I came across the Hidden Mickey. Whatever that was, I didn't know what it was. So I began talking to cast members and reading the history. And I actually met the guy, by the way, who was a cast member at the time, and he was writing in the cast member newsletter. He claims to have coined the term Hidden Mickey. This was back in about 1988 or 89, I believe. And he sent me the article where he wrote and he talked about the Hidden Mickey. And yeah, I kind of agree with him. He sort of brought it to the fore. And then since then, the whole game has really exploded. Now, Disney did not embrace this concept for a long time. I mean, the Imagineers were hiding Hidden Mickeys, especially in Epcot when Epcot was being built in the early 80s. But only the fans were picking up on Hidden Mickeys. Disney, and especially the Imagineering group, would often say, "What are Hidden Mickeys? We don't know what they are. They don't exist." So it really wasn't until the new Fantasyland opened in the Magic Kingdom, when the then president of Disney World was giving a talk to some reporters in downtown Disney, and I was in the audience, and she threw up a slide of a Hidden Mickey, and she was talking to the journalist. She said, "We're really proud of this Hidden Mickey," and it was the once a year Hidden Mickey that's in the queue of the Little Mermaid ride, Voyage of the Little Mermaid, in Under the Sea, in Magic Kingdom. It's in the queue, and it's once a year at noon on November 18th, Mickey's birthday. The sun shines through the holes in the ceiling of the cave and makes a Hidden Mickey light image on the wall.
Oh, and I thought it was on Walt Disney's birthday. Guess I've been showing up at the wrong time.
Right. So she showed that image, and the audience just broke out in applause and cheers. And I'm thinking, okay, Hidden Mickeys have arrived. If the administration's talking about them, then they're not sweeping them under the rug anymore. So, you know, that was a few years ago when New Fantasyland opened, and since then it's been wide open. I talk to cast members all the time, and I walk through the parks with my book in my back pocket, and inevitably somebody will recognize it and start talking to me. I love that, you know. I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm glad you know the book. I'm the author, and they get their picture with me, and it's just a lot of fun. I'll never get tired of that.
Product placement, best way to go.
No, but if you spend any time with Steve, you know, you can just see the joy that he and it's not waned, you know, obviously it's continued to grow. Yeah, it's wonderful.
So Steve, for a good portion of this past year, you haven't been able to go to Disney World. What have you been doing with yourself in that time period, unable to find Hidden Mickeys? Were you looking for them online somewhere?
Well, I have been going to Disney World. I haven't been avoiding it. I you know, I mean, I'm not making a statement here. I'm just telling you how my last year has been. Mm-hmm. My clinic has not closed since the pandemic opened. I've not missed a shift at work. 3 or 4 shifts a week, 11-hour shifts. I'm in rooms with patients up close and personal. No social distancing here. Now, I am wearing protective gear. So I've been exposed to the COVID virus since the beginning, probably several times a week. And I haven't gotten ill, thank God. Now, I think that's maybe one of two reasons. Number one, I have a good immune system, which I'm thankful for. And number two, I have not received a large bolus of virus, which is one of the keys to infection. So as a result of that, I haven't been afraid to go to Disney World. And I've been going once a week since the parks opened the last July. I've been going once a week, average. Now, I typically will wait a few weeks after one of the parks or Disney Springs opened. I wouldn't go with the opening day, but I would wait a few weeks and see how things were going. But yeah, I've been going once a week since last July. Now, you're right. Over the last year, the Disney company has had other priorities than Hidden Mickeys. That's on the back burner. So there haven't been a lot of new Hidden Mickeys since Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway opened, which was before the pandemic. There have been a few. And, you know, people write me periodically. But everything's certainly died down over the last year. Because people are nervous and you know, we're waiting for the new construction, you know, the new things to open later this year. I hope
a lot of more Hidden Mickeys in the new stuff, right?
Yes. You know, if Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is any example, I hope they follow I know that when Imagineers and creators and Disney creators meet, this subject of Hidden Mickeys comes up. Now, maybe not formally, but it does come up, and the Imagineer or the manager will instruct one of the workers to put a Hidden Mickey in at a certain position. You know, they'll decide where they want to go, where they want the Hidden Mickeys to go. So it becomes a part of the creation process. I hope that's the case with the new attractions later this year.
So it sounds like the insertion of a Hidden Mickey where it was more generic before is maybe a little bit more planned now.
Yes. It's really started with New Fantasyland. Some of the Hidden Mickeys there are just incredible. And they took at least a little bit of thought, you know, from the painter or the skull, you know, the rock artist. And so it's not a off the cuff thing at this point. It's more of a, at least they put some thought into it.
Yeah. So Steve, I'm sorry to ask all the questions here, but this intrigues me because you are a physician and you work in urgent care. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. So I can understand where you'd be seeing several patients. However, you have chosen to go to Walt Disney World, and I know a lot of our listeners are on the fence about whether or not it's safe. And so what I'm hearing you say is for yourself, you're making the decision that I'm sure you're wearing protective gear, but you're satisfied with the procedures that Walt Disney World has and, you know, started during the pandemic to make you and others feel safe. You feel comfortable with that.
Yes, they have been doing, I think, a very good job. The cast members, I'm sure, are briefed constantly, and they keep a sharp eye on, you know, in the early months, one of the problems I had wearing a mask was that my glasses would fog up. And so I kept sneaking it down below my nose, so, you know, I could see through my glasses, and I would get caught. Frequently, you know, a cast member would say,
Steve,
no, sir, pull that up above your nose. So, yeah, they are very vigilant and still are. They're very good. They're very well trained and prepped. And they don't want the virus to be a problem in Disney World. You can tell that. So I've been impressed and happy with the way Disney World has managed it. I think they've done a pretty good job.
Do the increased number of people, the increased capacity, does that worry you at all?
There's still social distancing, and I tend to avoid crowds. I don't like being close to people for any more than a few seconds at a time. And so, it's even now, I was at Epcot yesterday, and even now it's easy to, I was there with a friend, a neighbor. And so we avoided people easily. Social distancing was easy to do, wearing our masks. Now, currently, masks are optional outdoors, and masks are only required when you enter a space, an enclosed space. Yeah, so I'm not concerned. You're easily able to avoid being in big crowds because you're walking. If you're around other people, you're walking fast anyway. You're not standing in a crowd. That for me, never happened.
I will just add, Becky Menken, our good friend, turned me on to something. It's called Fog Stopper. It's a gel that you put on your glasses. So if you want to be able to not fog up while you got your mask on,
I would love that.
Yeah,
I got some.
Too. I got it off of Amazon. It's called Fog Stopper, and it works great. So if you're
awesome, all right.
So Mike, what's up next?
You know, I wanted to talk about news of interest, but the first thing I wanted to mention is this. This Steve would be interested in this, and I don't know, Steve, if you're thinking about this, but with the changes to the Jungle Cruise, have you thought about when that reopens? And my guess is that I'm going to predict it's going to open July 17th, that if you go on that attraction, Steve, that they will have a Trader Sam's, like a shack or whatever where he's selling his goods, and I'm wondering if you'll find a hidden Mickey on that display.
God bless you, Mike. I hope so.
He'll be looking.
I wouldn't be surprised. Jungle Cruise over the years has had some very innovative hidden Mickeys. Some of them come and go, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a hidden Mickey in there.
I'm gonna be looking for that. Anyways, that's one of the things that I think people were really curious about when the Jungle Cruise is gonna open. The talk is mid-July. I would guess July 17th. That's a magic number for a magic date for the Disney company. So I think that's gonna be the date that I'm gonna hang my hat on. We've heard that the transportation systems down there are beginning to open up to almost 100% of what they were prior to the closure. The Skyliners are loading multiple groups now. I'm hearing that the boats and the buses and the monorails could all return to 100% capacity as soon as this weekend. We'll see. Having said that, I want to remind everyone that the masks are still required for now. Again, those may go too. There's going to be more on that later on in this podcast. But there are little things that are happening all around. We could spend a whole hour talking about all the little things that are happening. But suffice to say that things like the quick service places are opening up, the restaurants are opening up, are reopening, the resorts are reopening. A lot of things are happening today. Yesterday, I received a text from someone down there who was all excited because the popcorn carts were popping corn. So it's a very slow process, but things are definitely turning around. And just wanted to mention all those things, Chris.
Steve, have you noticed that kind of stuff happening now? Do you feel like it's opening up further and further?
Yes. Virtually every month I've seen you know, more easing of different things. Now, especially the changes have been the number of people allowed in the parks. And that has slowly increased. But, again, the social distancing, the masks, I would say the vast majority of people are following the rules. The announcement comes over frequently, if you don't follow the rules, you will be escorted out. You will be asked to leave the park. So that they're still trying to be smart about this. And yeah, of course, we're not ready for the world to open up yet again, because, right, the herd immunity is not there yet. But so I'm seeing things more and more restaurants opening up, the popcorn stands. Now, one of my disappointments was one of my favorite snacks at Disney parks was the frozen chocolate and nut covered banana. Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't had that in a month or 6 weeks. And I asked recently, and evidently they didn't renew the contract with the supplier. I'm thinking, oh my God, please bring that back. I mean, that was my favorite snack there.
Oh, man, you're gonna switch back to a Mickey bar, huh?
Oh yes, the Mickey bars are there. They're still delicious.
So, Mike, what else was, speaking of masks, you had some other information about mask mandates, and like we said, Disney is not following Universal's move to going maskless.
Well, after last week's podcast, we had found out about the Universal policy to drop the requirements for indoor mask wearing as well as outdoor, but as Mickey would say, hiya, pal! Keep those masks on. So Disney did not follow suit. And I am actually proud of Walt Disney World because they didn't do a monkey see, monkey do. They held fast to their policy. And I think that they should be commended for that. Today, there was a coronavirus update by the Orange County Mayor, Jerry Demings. And we expected he would lift the mask mandate, but he did not. His goal was, and Steve talked about herd immunity, Jerry Demings said when 70% of the population 16 years of age and older had received their first dose, and when Orange County's 14-day rolling positivity rate dropped to 5% or below, that he would lift the mask mandate. Now, currently, the positivity rate is below 5%. But the vaccination level is only at 55%. So the mask mandate stays on. However, having said that, there's a possibility that he may just say, off with your masks on Friday. So on Friday, June 4th, everybody should pay attention.
What do you think? Ask Steve, because he's in the clinical practice here. Have you seen fewer people, Steve, who are positive?
Yes, in my clinic, we have seen far fewer active COVID-infected patients in the last 6 weeks. It's definitely decreasing. The COVID virus is going away, and I think it's because of the vaccinations, and the other part of it is if enough people get infected, they'll also have antibodies. So there you go. I mean, eventually the virus will have not enough people to infect and it will die out. Now, of course, we don't know about the variants yet. The full story about the COVID variants is yet to be written and understood.
Well, moving on to a more interesting subject than the depression of dealing with a virus. Steve, we just found out that the Boo Bash Halloween pricing just came out. I don't know if you caught this. Are you planning this year to go to the Boo Bash Halloween party?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I haven't made plans yet, but
you know how much it costs, Steve? Ooh, Mike, tell us.
Have you checked your bank account before you decide?
Take out a second
mortgage. Well, that may prevent me from signing up for it. Yeah.
So may I remind you, Dr. Barrett, that this Boo Bash Halloween party is a separate ticket event, and it's a three-hour event, and they announced that the tickets will be going on sale next week, June 8th, so you can buy your ticket. If you want to go in August or September, you can go for the discounted price of between $129 or $139. And by the way, that's before tax. So we're probably talking over $130 and over $140 for three nights, for three hours. If you go in October, that price goes up to $159 to $169. And I don't know exactly what the difference is between the tiers. It could have something to do with the day of the week. My guess is that the higher the price, it's probably a Friday or a Saturday night. That's for October, Steve. But if you want to go on Halloween, you will be happy to know that they are going to, Mickey would like you to pay $199 plus tax to go to this three-hour event.
Per person, right?
Per person on Halloween night. So that's the announcement that came today. Oh, I'm sorry. Tickets go on sale June 15th. There is a discount, though. I just want you to know that they do care about giving us discounts. So those of us who are either annual pass holders or Disney Vacation Club members will get a $10 discount. Only in August and September. So, you know, this is not a money.
Oh, then definitely I'll go. So $10.
That's the latest, Steve, on this Hollywood, on this Boo Bash.
For 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. There will be 20 attractions open, they said, and there will be free refreshments. And I can remember years ago in another life, I used to complain about a $65 cookie. I'm not complaining anymore. Yeah.
So what do you think, Steve?
I'll have to think about that.
Chris, what about you?
Well, no, definitely not going. But it does scare me about the Run Disney prospects and how much they're going to be charging for any of that stuff. Hey, Steve, do you ever do any cruising? Because I don't like it, and I only have friends who don't like it. So are you my friend?
Okay. I get it.
Well, I ride a book, Hidden Mickeys on the Disney Cruise Line. So, yeah, I've been on all four of the boats so far. So,
it was nice knowing you.
So I will. Cruising is not my favorite activity, but I enjoy it, especially if I'm there with people I know and
let's go, Steve.
What's that?
Let's go.
Yes. Well, I certainly enjoy looking for hidden Mickeys on the ships and at Castaway Key. Castaway Key is a fabulous place. I enjoy that.
It's wonderful.
I'm sure Chris will love it when he goes.
So what's the updates on the cruise line then?
Oh, the update on the cruise line. Oh, well, I'll tell you, it's really interesting because it was yesterday that we heard that the CDC approved the Disney Cruise Line's application to do some test sailing show that they have a handle on safe sailings with limited guests, and they have taken care of all guidelines to keep people safe and things like that. So the approval is for a two-day sailing, which I'm not sure if that would be enough. I mean, I would want to know more.
I think it's mostly cast members, and they're just testing things out.
Yeah.
Testing protocols.
Yeah, it's a two-day cruise. I believe they're going to do this the 29th of June to the 2nd of July. And then the question is that going to be enough for them to make a decision as to when they would begin sailing again? So I don't know. It's a slow kind of crawl towards getting back to sailing. But in all of this, there's this Ron DeSantis edict that says that if a cruise line makes it mandatory for
any business, a cruise line.
Mm. Well, if a cruise line makes it mandatory. Well, is it any business?
It's any business requires proof of vaccination is $5,000 fine per infraction.
And an infraction means for every guest that you require to show proof of or to have a vaccination pass, you're going to be fined $5,000. So I don't know where this all leads to. It just doesn't make sense that the governor of a state would do something to prevent one of its biggest tourist attractions.
Well, the opportunity to get Port Canaveral and all the little cottage industries around the cruise there. Their rental car places, their hotels that people go to before they start their cruise, their parking areas, their the hundreds and hundreds of people who do baggage and do the in the cruise terminal. So it would impact them if they couldn't go out of just Port Canaveral. That's one of the many, many cruise stops in Florida. So if I were a cruise line owner, I would be banging on the door of the governor saying, hey.
You'd also be a billionaire, but hey, whatever.
Yeah.
Speaking of needing to be a billionaire, Mike, why don't you tell us about this Lightning Pass rumor? I don't know if Steve has heard this story.
Yeah, it came out of the blue. I don't know, it was yesterday or today or whatever. I started getting texts about this, asking me about it, and I started looking into it. And apparently there's a very, 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 very strong rumor that there will be a rebranding of FastPass. And the rebranding will take on the guise of, this is, again, rumor. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it's going to take on the guise of the genie from Aladdin, who will grant your wish through a lightning pass approach to attractions, which would replace the fast pass. Now, years ago, we had heard that there would be different tiers of fast pass flavors, and they would be somehow connected to things like what resort are you staying at and things like that. So basically, this is going to be, I guess, similar to Universal's Express Pass, which means it's going to be a paying Fast Pass. So what I heard was that there's discussions that this Fast Pass would have several tiers, the lowest tier being $100 per person per day, and the highest one being $300 per person per day. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means if you're paying the higher that you have unlimited options to go to the front of the line of any attraction in any park. I don't know if the $100 one means only for one park. Maybe $300 means any park. You can park hop with that. But that's what I'm hearing. So for those who were wondering about, whether FastPass would come back, the answer is yes and no. Yes, FastPass is coming back. No, the free FastPass is probably not coming back. So we'll have to see what happens. And my guess, Chris, Steve, and Michelle, is that this kind of a new policy would probably coincide with the parks hitting 100% capacity, because they would want to have an impact on the lines. But having said that, it just keeps creeping into my head that Bob Chapek is thinking that, he needs to figure out a way to limit the crowds in the park. But he also realizes that a Disney vacation is becoming an elite vacation, and those with the deep pockets will be coming, which means those with the deep pockets will be probably paying for the lightning pass, if in fact this is true. But it was just an interesting morning yesterday. I was getting bombarded with this left and right, and I had to look into it, and it's very much a big, big, big rumor.
Well, Steve, as a cruise line owner and a billionaire, is this something you'd be willing to do?
Well, that's expensive. You're talking about the lightning.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that my sole interest in stepping on Disney property or a Disney cruise ship is I'm thinking about Hidden Mickeys. So my main issue there is sometimes I don't go to parties like the Mickey's Halloween party, Christmas party. I don't always go to those because that doesn't get me to my goal, which is looking for hidden Mickeys. So, you know, I might dive for a lightning pass if I needed to get to an image in a certain attraction, you know, and the line was an hour. And I'm thinking, well, I'd be willing to pay some money to get to that attraction, that image faster, so I can get a video of it and check it out. That would be worth it to me. But I would use that criterion to decide anything I do on Disney. Is, you know, this hidden Mickey thing, you know, it's taken over my whole being.
Hey, that's good though. You got to have your passions.
Yes.
Speaking of which, so I would be negligent if I didn't point out the fact that if you do look in I Am Walt Disney, of which I drew, there is a page in there where you'll see Mike and Michelle, and Steve is actually in there searching for hidden Mickeys himself. I took a page out of his book, literally, and I hid Mickeys throughout the entire book. So, Steve, feel free to go through the book and see if you can find all of those hidden Mickeys.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I have to go look.
Yeah, I tried. Wow. I even tried to do like the... There's ones like I forgot where I put them, but I did ones like they do in Spaceship Earth, where they took the scrolls and they made a Mickey out of the scrolls.
Yes.
I did that with some paperwork. I did like an ashtray on a table that is in the shape of a Mickey. So, and to point it out, the traditional Mickey is the three circles.
Correct.
One larger in the middle and then two smaller ones. So that's what I was doing. And then sometimes I put other ones like you found where it was like a little mouse, a real mouse, just somewhere just to sort of throw it in there. But
you know what we would call you in New England, Chris? Clever.
Clever.
You're clever.
Clever. You're so clever.
Why is it in New England that every word has 16 syllables?
You're wicked clever.
So, so Steve, I think we're going to wrap it up there, but I just wanted to thank you for coming on, and I wanted to point people out to HiddenMickeyGuy.com. But more importantly, Steve's got an Instagram under the same name, HiddenMickeyGuy, and a YouTube channel, which you should definitely check out, subscribe, and you can check out some of the hidden Mickeys around the parks that maybe on your next vacation you want to spot. Anything I missed, Steve?
No, thank you for bringing that up. That pretty much covers it. My books are certainly sold in bookstores. Now, thankfully, since Disney World's been open, the Disney World book has been, bookstores have been ordering that.
Nice.
The Disneyland book hopefully will start selling soon. Now, Amazon always has the books.
Yeah.
So
it's a great book. It's a great book to take with you on your trip. So I did it with my kids.
Perfect to stick in your back pocket too, just like Steve does. Perfect size.
I tried to stick my book in my back pocket, but it's like 8x8 and really doesn't fit well. So
it's a great conversation starter too, you know?
Yeah.
You can actually meet people that way.
Especially
yes. As the pandemic goes away and we meet strangers more often. It's a great way to open a conversation.
If people see you in the park, they should come up and say hello, right?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. Please do. Yeah. Please do.
It's a wonderful experience. Like I will say I did that. I had the book with me with the kids and people would ask what it was and what we were doing. And then they'd get into it. So it was you're right. It's a great conversation starter. So we all highly recommend it and want to thank you, Steve, for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Mickey Miles and More. If you want to continue this conversation, join us on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast or on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. For Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, Mike Scopa, Steve Barrett, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road, in the parks, and welcome home.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.